It sounds like we're sitting in the same room.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
Should we test that?
Like, I should look around the room and see if you're here?
Yeah.
No, you're not here.
Okay. All right. I was wondering.
Hello and welcome to episode 232 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver.
I started that without even having the show notes up. I didn't know what I was doing.
Muscle memory.
That was, and I was like, wow, I hope it's 232.
I hope so too.
Mm-hmm. So I think we officially pass the Big Bang Theory something. It's a show. Okay. No, never mind.
Okay.
I don't know enough about it to shoot my mouth off.
Okay.
Hasn't stopped me before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, Adam?
Summer heat.
Is it still?
Yeah, it's lovely here. Every day is just blue skies and like 26 degrees or 25 degrees.
I'm looking at your weather right now, and it concurs.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to eventually rain here, but it has not in quite some time.
Wow!
I feel like I was transplanted to California.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
We're having okay weather. It's supposed to be 31 today, and sunny, and then rain tomorrow. But we have a game tomorrow, so it can't rain.
Oh no! Is this home game or away?
Another home game. We have a stretch of home games, but this is a make up game for a rain out from earlier in the year, so we can't have it rain out again.
Oh yeah, is the whole town of Tübingen on pins and needles about what the Hawks are going to do next?
We won.
Yeah.
Did we do the podcast after the show? After baseball last week?
I think you did, because I remember you telling me you won one and lost one.
Yeah, okay. Well, when I say everyone, I mean like 30 people.
Right.
Friends
and family.
Yeah, not friends of mine.
Okay.
Just friends of the guys on the team.
Right.
They, they're excited.
Okay.
There's a renewed excitement. We could be the Durham Bulls here. We could turn this around and just stop losing.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
If you had a half-decent coach, maybe.
If I have to what?
No, if you had a half-decent coach, maybe that would help.
That's what is happening, though.
Oh, you have that.
No, we have a full-decent coach.
Okay. Okay.
Depends who you ask, actually.
Right.
Yeah, some people, not so much. There you go. So, nice weather. Nice weather means lots of photos, I hope.
Okay.
Is that what it means to you?
I guess so. I don't know. It could be. I have been taking photos, so
that's what I'm saying. Are you more inclined to take your camera with you?
I do, but the challenge is, and we've talked about this numerous occasions, is that, you know, the light now goes from like 5 in the morning. I don't know what time sunrise is, but it's way too early for me, and it doesn't go down until, I don't know, it seems like 9 o'clock at night. So pretty much every time you bring your camera out, it's the middle of the day. Like I don't take a lot of photos at 9 o'clock at night, and I certainly don't take a lot of sun up photos this time of year. So pretty much you're always dealing with bright sun, and because we haven't seen any overcast or any rain, there isn't a lot of even light out there. So there's that.
Yeah, I the days that we've had the exact same weather over here, it's the same. Your middle of the day when you get the harsh lighting is really long, and so I look for open shade or stuff like that, or you know. The best light is probably around 8 o'clock, but 6 o'clock, you're just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good enough.
5:45, forget it. Just don't waste your time.
Don't bother.
Smash your camera with a hammer. Yeah. That's what I would rather do.
Yeah, me too.
But if you need a hammer for that, get it on Amazon.
I was going to say Amazon. Yeah, I just got my my new wallet that I ordered on Amazon.
I'm interested to see a photo of your wallet. I'm not even joking.
Super exciting. It is one of these new, now I guess every wallet seems
like. Is it Velcro?
No Velcro, just very thin, like, cuz I tend to be a front pocket wallet person, so this is specifically for front pocket wallet use. Like, it's very thin. Space for, I don't know, 7 or 8 cards, and it's like weighs nothing. It's pretty much, I don't know, half an inch thick, maybe folded. Like, it's nothing, and it even has rounded corners for so it fits into your pocket a little bit better. Just on the one side, the rounded corner. So it's a front wallet pocket, and now they're all built in with this what's it called? RFID blocking kind of, so that people don't scan your radio frequency IDs that, you know, because all the cards now, the credit cards, debit cards, they'll give off the radio frequencies that the bad people can pick up on their scanners. So
really?
I never had one of these before. So now this...
What, like your credit card has this on it?
Yeah, credit cards, debit cards, they all. So that you don't even have, like, with the machine, the debit cards, you don't have this in Germany where you just literally wave the credit card in front of the machine and it just basically, it does it like that. You don't even have to insert it into the machine anymore.
Do you have to punch a code or anything?
Not if the purchase is under, I don't know, I want to say, it used to be $50, now it's probably $100. You just kind of wave it in front. So the technology of the credit cards has this radio frequency ID, and with that information also comes a bunch of information about you. So
whoa. No, I don't know if we have, maybe we have this.
The rest of the world does.
Well, we have chip. No, I mean,
there's chip cards, and then there's this on top.
Yeah,
of
okay,
the chip
but
cards,
the Germans had, we had the chip cards here in Germany long before we had it, or I long before I saw them in Canada. Anyway, so yeah, they've been around forever, and they are awesome. I like that, but I always have to sign or punch a code, even with the chip.
Yeah,
but this whole near field thing.
Yeah,
where you what do you have to get to? That's like that like you can't take an extra 4 seconds.
Yeah. Well, it's not even like this is an option. Like, they don't ask you, hey, do you want this? It's just on all the cards.
But
yeah,
what are we doing? I understand that I am grumpy old man.
Yeah.
With what's with all this technology and that. I promise I'm not taking the side of Ted Kaczynski on this.
Okay.
However, some of it, we can we just take a step back and say, why the R&D on this RFID?
Right.
Why did we do this? What?
I know, because they've created a technology that just creates more criminals.
Do you think maybe the criminals created it?
Possibly, but all, like, you think that who's got anything to lose here? I mean, obviously, you know, getting your identity stolen, that's one of it, but the credit cards, every time someone rips off, like, this would just create more fraud, and the credit cards are the companies are the ones that pay for that fraud, so I don't see...
Well, no, they're not. The customer is.
No, they pay you back. They reimburse you. If you get ripped off, they give you full refund on anything.
Out of their pocket? Out of Johnny MasterCard cuts your check out of his pocket?
They just basically put it right back into your account. So, but they don't recover that money. Like, they're not
they
getting...
They do recover that money.
From the bad guy?
No, they split it up over all the good guys, and everybody pays a few shekels, and that's that.
But pays a few shekels if you don't pay your bill on time.
Right, but... MasterCard isn't a charity.
No, they're counting on people not paying their bill on time. What I'm saying is,
right. But they do build that price in, the paying off scams. They build that into their model,
right?
And so somebody pays in the end. The people who pay for credit cards pay more because of the scam. So it's not like it's a push. Don't worry about it.
Right. What I'm saying is, in my history of credit card use, I have never paid any interest on a credit card, but I've had multiple compromises where one time it was like $1,000 rung up, and that was without losing my card, and that entire $1,000 doesn't come out of my pocket. They just basically... the security department within the credit card just basically talks to you. Yep, these aren't your charges. Gone, deleted. But it's not like they're getting that money back from whoever came away with $1,000 of merchandise. So that's just a loss on their end, right? Now, it's, again, it's an acceptable loss to them because, again, I guess by having this technology, it makes it easier for everybody to spend. So they're willing to accept those losses in the grand scheme of things. That's got to be just the way it is, right?
Okay.
That's the way I look at it. It's like if you wave your card around in front of the machine, that makes people less inclined to think of it as money and therefore spend more in the bigger picture. And that's what I think it is.
That could be what it is if you don't even think it's just wave your card in front of it and it's like a game.
almost is.
I've never seen this. I don't want to be part of it, but I'm guessing when I get my new cards, they're going to come with these chips.
And I think a lot of the fraudulent stuff used to be happening at gas stations because now the gas station pumps, they used to be able to just wave it in front. You wouldn't have to get out of your car. But now in the last 6 months, that doesn't exist anymore. And now you have to punch your PIN into the gas stations. So when you handed your card over to full serve, like for people out there in Richmond, there is no self serve. Like they basically, city has a policy that it's full serve mm-hmm. everywhere just to create jobs.
Wait, hang on.
What?
You that's where you live.
That's where I live.
When's the last time you actually had full serve?
I would never go to full serve. Oh, you mean like that? That's yeah. No.
There's a guy. They do pay a guy to sit there and say full serve.
They make it awkward so that you don't like if you try to fill up your tank, they stand like right next to you and it's super uncomfortable, awkward yeah. situation. So they really do want to do that because I guess if enough people just do it themselves, then those guys are going to be out of work. So they.
My point is though. Again, I hate to spend the whole day arguing with you. Full serve usually means come check the air in the tires, check the oil.
I see what you mean. Yeah. No. It's just basically fill your gas. Occasionally, yeah. 1 out of 10 guy will ask you if you want to check your oil.
Yeah. So, anyways, okay, great. Well, I'm glad for the new wallet. I am interested in the RFID technology blocking. Technology. This is where we're at. This is the part where I wonder if my wallet will handle that. So yeah, we left off with your. I hope my wallet does the same thing. It's not going to. My internet went out for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, at least I'm going to say 14.
Your anger is misplaced.
Okay.
No, it was 10 minutes. I checked. Yeah. Your anger is misplaced, and so let's wind this hissy fit down. Yeah.
Okay.
So yesterday, another non-photography-related rant, too. Yesterday, my son decided to do a face plant into something sharp and rusty.
Okay.
And sliced his face open.
I'm guessing this was on your watch.
Nope. No. I'm what's known as a good dad.
Right.
This was, I was just actually leaving for baseball practice and all of a sudden my wife screamed. So, come running out and, he'd slice his face open pretty good and he's just standing there smiling.
Oh no.
Like, wow. Just smiling. Like, okay. Wow. Well, two smiles at this point because of the giant cut, but, and it's blood everywhere. And I was like, wow. Okay. And then I look, and he's just kind of smiling something. And okay, it's just a scratch. Look close. No. It's a deep, deep cut.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I thought, oh, great. So, all right, let's get in the car. We're going to the doctor, you know? And so we go. And this is not so much a story about my son getting, you know, getting cut as it is an indictment of the Canadian medical system.
Okay.
It's terrible. We think we everyone likes to talk like America when they have an election they point to Canada and go, hey, look at their healthcare. It is terrible in Canada.
Okay.
We should be ashamed of it. Everyone should come over here and see how it's run.
Okay.
He was fine, my son. He's smiling and he needed to get, you know, stitches, but he's a kid, so they didn't give him stitches. They used the tape and taped him shut. And glued, the fancy new bandages they have now are like stitches.
Okay.
So they take care of him. But could you imagine that experience? Let's say that happened to Jack. What would be the turnaround time from the time you showed up at the hospital until you left? What would you imagine in Canada?
Good question.
Just ballpark it.
You'd have to ask Lisa because I'd probably be at home watching baseball or something.
Well, you could probably TiVo it.
How long should be gone 1.5 baseball games?
Right. Yeah. Okay. No. Honestly, what would you imagine turn around? Not the driving, just the hospital part. In and out.
Let's say 2 hours.
12 minutes.
Wow.
That is no exaggeration. If it's an exaggeration, it's on the high side.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I still made it to baseball. I was 20 minutes late for baseball because of this. That was it.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's just because he's a little kid and, you know, they basically deal with the young ones fast? He said 12 minutes.
Yeah.
There you go. Lisa just said when she took Jack in when he was little, twice, and he was having breathing issues, zero weight, right in. So
absolutely. In life or death, yes. She knows we're recording the show, right?
Yeah, she knows. Okay. She's just, this is part of a panel over here.
The life or death, that's different. But like this he wasn't losing a ton of blood. It was just like, and the same thing happened with when I got the nail in the eye and the incidences just all line up. It's just been I wait longer for the regular doctor appointment here than you do for anything else, like the normal stuff.
Okay.
And even that's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Like it's crazy.
So you're better than all of us. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying I'm better. I have nothing to do with the German healthcare system. So I this is not about me. However, what I'm saying is that in Canada, we should be ashamed of all the money that is being collected and evidently not distributed. And whatever's happening, it's a travesty. That's all. That's what I'm saying. This is my political rant. I know we can close the Burrard Bridge for yoga, but maybe get doctors.
Is there going to be a photography podcast somewhere in here? Lisa, part of the panel just laughed.
Yeah, no, I understand. I can hear her. Yeah. See, I'm nice enough to ask my wife to leave the room when we record.
Well, it's kind of our bedroom. It's kind of almost bedtime here. So I think she's prepping herself for sleepy time.
Yeah, you're doing a good job of that.
I know. It's my fault. I'm hilarious.
You're putting her to sleep. There you go. All right. Let's talk about some photo stuff then.
Okay.
Because I have a whole bunch of other stuff that's listed that's not photo stuff.
Do you got anything photo?
Wood
there?
Bats. did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I don't. I did shoot something.
Thankfully, another grad.
No, we were doing a plane pull. It was part of a fundraiser for the United Way. My sister-in-law. Her company was, they were doing this fundraiser where you get a team of 15 people and you pull an airplane, and it's sort of like, you know, almost a tug of war, but against the airplane, and you, it's timed. So you have to pull it past a certain line and you get a time, and just kind of a fun competition thing. And then they had little games and things set out for kids. And so it's just kind of like an event. And, we went there, and it turned out on our team someone brought an extra person, so you're only supposed to have 15, and we had 16, and I had my camera with me, so I said, no problem, I will step aside, and I will just take a few photos. So took a few photos of the team pulling the plane.
So, now, when you did this,
mm-hmm.
which lens did you have with you?
Well, I had... what did I have? Oh, I had the 70-200 on the full frame because I didn't have any idea, you know, how far away I'd be, if I'd be able to be close, be far. I thought the 70-200 gave me the most versatility for this kind of thing. I didn't think there'd be much point to wide angle here because I thought I might be situated pretty far from them. Turns out because I was on the team, I walked right up and stood right beside them. So I could have went with any lens that I had. So
you're a big deal when it comes to the plane pull.
Yeah, big deal.
In that world, you're the big wheel.
They did have a photographer for the event. Mm-hmm. And my gear was much better than his. So he was shooting. He had two cameras. Both were, you know, crop sensor bodies, nothing there was no 70, let's put it that way. So they were kind of mid-level, probably, I don't know, I didn't look too closely, but I'm going to say like a T4i and another body similar. And he had on one camera just a kit lens. So he was two-bodying it with a kit lens and I'm going to say an off-brand, like a maybe as a Sigma, but a definitely an off-brand long-range zoom. So that's what he was geared up with.
And, wow.
Yeah, I wanted to cry Bush League, but I didn't.
Instead,
I just kind of said it to him behind his back to all the other people, like, this guy blows. I should really be doing this. Anyways, I took a few pictures, and they considering midday, full sun, turned out pretty good. So
flash, no flash.
No flash. No, I was not going to use flash as they were trying to pull this plane and burst a flash in their eyes.
Would be a good photo though. So who cares about
the photos
hernia?
Were good, and it did. Yeah. And I guess that maybe there was a little bit of shade
from the
cast from the plane itself. Yeah, because I was surprised that the photos were as evenly lit as, and that must have been from that. And I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of shade there, but there must have been.
And the tarmac is generally towards the lighter side. And so it's not like it's black, is it?
Mm-hmm. But I was trying to. It was a blue sky day, and I wanted to get some of that sky in. So
right, but the tarmac could offer.
Oh, you
some
mean in
bounce.
Terms of bounce? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, like, would you have liked to have had the wide angle just to show the enormity of what was going on? Like, what kind of a plane were they pulling?
Well, it was a jet. Like, I don't know. I'm going to say, like, at least a 737 kind of size jet. So it was a big plane. And if I knew that I was going to literally be able to stand right beside them to take photos, I would have taken the 19 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because I think it would have been a cool, just different possibilities. Because, obviously I had to kind of choose what I was going to include in the frame. So you get some cool close ups in that, but just don't have the ability to catch the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but through your skill level, you're able to tell the story with that lens, anyways.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah,
that's the important takeaway.
Yeah.
So, and this was out of, I'm guessing it's out of the airport. They didn't bring this to the mall, right?
No, this was kind of where the UPS. It's near the airport, but they had brought a couple planes over. I guess one was probably the UPS plane. So it was kind of at their little depot where all the packages come in, but not right at the airport.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there you go. That was interesting. That was just something completely different, and that's what made me think of making the challenge, because I had done that. I didn't talk about it last time. I just done it that day, and that was what made me think of the challenge, planes, trains, and automobiles, because we had sort of been driving by the airport and seeing planes, and I just thought, yeah, something I've never really taken a photo of is airplanes. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So what about you? Anything interesting?
No. I'm glad you had something relatively interesting.
Okay, relatively.
To fill that gap. I think the extent of my picture taking this week for some reason was scanning more film. That was it. I just scanned some film that I had processed and hadn't gotten to.
Right.
That was it.
Okay.
And gone through and done all that. And that was fun. Did we talk about it last week? I don't remember. Because I had processed the
you
film.
Talked about having like the photo like almost 2 years apart of your kid
right.
on the same roll of film. Yeah.
Let's talk about that again.
Yeah, can we do that again? Update on Costco prints, still awesome. So just because I haven't mentioned it in a while, and sometimes we talk about something like that and then completely forget to mention it. But now I'm even telling people that I do the work for, because I don't do printing for them. I give them all the images and just I'm done with it after that. And I've been telling them specifically, go for bang for your buck. Like the Costco prints are fantastic. So. So just to keep you updated.
Oh, good to know. I wouldn't say first book, but first book in a while. So things have changed in the making your own book department.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I haven't made one in probably 7 years.
Okay.
I would say. So about to make one. Cause this year for my daughter's birthday, normally we make an actual album and get the pictures printed and paste them in. And it's really awesome. Except for it's so much work that I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay.
And so we're going to get a book made, but I'm in the process of that. Got the pictures narrowed down and about to jump into the book module in Lightroom.
Okay.
So I need to dissect that a little bit. So I'm actually going to go back and watch. I think Marquardt has a section on how to make books on his Lightroom tutorial.
I believe there is. I haven't gotten that far, but.
I never bothered to watch that one because I had no need for it until now. So I think that's, as soon as I hang up on you, that's going to be my day. So there you go.
Sounds riveting.
Yeah, but that's where I am. It's all, I'll keep people updated. So, photo challenge. You said it. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at what's going on here. Let's look at yours first.
Okay, so after I came home from the plane pull, I noticed that there was cars kind of parked right along the flight path where the planes literally just before they enter sort of the fenced off area that is the actual airport, there's kind of a pullout spot along the road there where you could just literally park your car and watch the planes fly overhead. So that's what I had in mind. I thought, oh, that'll be neat. I'll go and I'll park the car, and the planes seem to, you know, fly over pretty regularly. So you only have to wait a couple of minutes before the next one's coming. And I thought, you know, there's something interesting here. So I did that. I parked at the flight path and basically watched the planes came in, and I took the standard kind of, you know, low level plane coming right at you kind of pictures. And I just kind of thought, it's not that interesting. I mean, they're okay. And this is, I don't know, 10 in the morning. So already the sun's, you know, right overhead. And I just thought, oh, there's nothing really here that's that interesting. And so then I was in the SUV that has like the moonroof. So I basically popped out the moonroof and just stuck the camera straight up overhead and waited for the plane to literally get right over my head. And then I tried that as an angle and snapped this off. I kind of snapped a burst of two or three photos. And as the plane went right overhead, I liked it. So the photo I'm using here isn't cropped or anything. It's just basically straight out of camera with a little bit of saturation on the blues. And I just really liked it because it was very different. And I was trying to get the flare from the sun. And I just like how you get a big lens flare in the middle of the picture. And it seems like, so you get the sun, you get the huge flare in the middle, and then you get the tail end of the plane just in the other corner. And I just, it's popped out to me. It was interesting and it was very different. It wasn't what I had envisioned before when I went out there as something I was going to take. But when I looked through the whatever 25 photos that I did take, I was immediately sold on this. This was the one I liked.
This is probably the exact same picture everybody took. We all got home. It's like, oh yeah, of course, tail, lens flare. You know, no. Yeah. This is. I guarantee you're the only one who got this photo. Like this is definitely an interesting perspective on this. It's not something you see every day. So, no, I like it. I like the colors. I like the color of the lens flare, actually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And in addition, I mean, you don't know that this is, there's really no evidence that this plane is flying. I mean, you could, in theory, I suppose, I guess it's far enough away that you couldn't just take this from the tarmac looking up. You wouldn't get this perspective. But what I really like is a little, even the little flare off the end of the tail.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
The tail cone, that little flare adds to the whole thing. So yeah, there's definitely a different perspective on a shot that a lot of people have. Like you said, it's very popular to go there. There's a lot of people out there taking pictures of planes.
Yes, there are. Again, I didn't know this was a thing, but now I know. Mm-hmm.
And this is the 70-200?
Yes, this is the 70-200.
That was my guess, because I'm counting the shutter blades, and this is probably like an F11, F16.
I don't think it was that wide open. I want to say not F9 or F10.
Towards something. That end,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it was definitely wasn't wide open. Let's say that much.
Right. So that, I mean, so if you look at the lens flare, you can count the edges, and that tells you how many shutter blades your lens has.
Okay, because I did take some photos with the wide angle, the 19-35 Tokina lens. I took that as well, but because this isn't cropped, it was so much of a wider perspective, there's no way that this photo was taken with that.
I'm looking at the EXIF. It's a 70-200 at an F8, though.
Okay, F8,
there you go. So a little bit off. I was a little bit off, but
in the ballpark,
the right lens. Awesome. All right, let's have a look at my photo.
Okay.
This is my son before he cut his face. not right before, the day before.
Right.
When I took this photo, I didn't know he was going to cut his face.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
This is, it looks like he's outside, but how is he not wet?
I'm a magician.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is his car. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So this is his Bobby car.
Yes.
And as soon as you issued the challenge, I knew that you had an airport day in mind.
Okay.
And I'm not going. The airport's a little bit more of a hike for me. Not much, a little bit. And I wasn't going there. So, plus I don't even know if people do that, stop and look at the planes here. I don't know if that's the thing. Anyways, I had the Bobby car in mind because it's a great thing to photograph. And so this is it. I took him out. He is outside. And it's not raining at all. That's a fake backdrop.
Oh, okay.
I faked all of this. This is what we call movie magic here.
Okay, so let's tell me how you did it.
Well, this how I did this is the topic of this week's show. So let's just get right into it.
Okay.
First of all, I win the challenge. Okay. So now this week's topic: backlighting.
Okay.
I
was going to actually tell you that I thought it was fake.
Well, in what? In
the photo.
In terms of what? It's not fake. I mean, it's real. That's out of the camera. I didn't do anything to it.
Okay.
So
I didn't think he was really out in the rain. That's what I...
Nor should you have. Okay. No. This was just what we call cool.
Okay. All right.
We think of backlighting. You know, early on, we learned to don't backlight our subjects because we're just going to get if the faces are being shadow and it's just going to be awful. However, backlighting is pretty awesome when we do it correctly.
Okay.
There are things like when we want to light objects, certain objects like rain in this case, it needs to be backlit. If I didn't have the backlighting here, which there's a flash in behind camera right and to the back behind, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
behind
you can
the subject.
See it on, you can see it on his hair and on his shirt.
Right. And that's what's lighting up the water. Without that, you're not going to see, the water's not going to register. If you front light the rain, you're not going to see it. So this is a very common technique, like in movies and whatnot. You'll see it a lot whenever you have, rain scenes. It's usually at night and they're taking the time to backlight it. So watch a movie like The Unforgiven, or I think it's just called Unforgiven. I didn't mean to add
I was going to say.
Yeah. So, but you watch that. Now, I know they shot like the whole end sequence is all shot in the rain, and that's typically backlit. It's always a hard light backlighting that to make it pop out. Smoke or fog is another great example of something that you can backlight. And I thought of an example. This is probably 3 years ago. This photo, I put it in your folder there,
mm-hmm, with your daughter on your shoulders.
Yeah, that's just at the P&E at the fair in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
And we were walking along towards the end. The end of the day, the sun was relatively low in the sky. You can see with the long shadows, and I just saw like this whatever these they were selling here, some sort
this
of
is
drinks.
This is a Slurpee truck. I know exactly what this is.
Oh, okay. But they're pumping this sort of mist out.
Yeah. It's the Slurpee truck.
And I thought, wow, that's going to make kind of a cool-looking photo. I mean, not your typical P&E photo, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it all set up, had my wife, basically stand back and snap this, and then walked out of it knowing that I'm going to get this effect just because it was kind of cool. So this is kind of the thing I like. It's a favorite technique of mine,
okay,
to backlight stuff like this. So, why do we do it? Backlight?
Because it looks cool.
It does look cool, and for me, it adds like a kind of like a 3D sort of perspective. Two shots sometimes with the smoke, especially it does, because you can kind of, if you do it right, you can kind of see the shape of the smoke. Or the mist, or whatever it is, the fog will have texture and layer to it, and therefore it's going to add like a 3D feel to your photo.
Okay.
Besides just looking cool and breaking up an otherwise dull image. In the case of my son, it's probably a okay photo without it, but I think that adds an extra kind of cool factor to it.
I agree.
Okay. Otherwise, it'd be awkward if you didn't.
I was going to say, you're wrong.
Right. So how do we... So in the case of my son's photo, this is a great example of how to do it. And how to do it simply, because this took exactly four photos, like from start to finish, like getting it set up to being done, which is good because I only had 4 photos to make it happen before that was the end.
Okay.
Before he was done, before the water was, you know, my wife was done holding the hose, that kind of thing. So here's what I did. Got it all set up, put the bobby car down in the driveway, went and hooked up the hose sort of in the carport so it would kind of hang and shoot the spray in the background.
Okay.
Had my wife hold that. She was thrilled. But she did that, and then I had 2 flashes for this. I had one in behind, a hard light. Now, this was taken actually during the day. This is the middle of the day, but it was a little bit overcast, so I was able to kill most of the daylight.
Okay.
That is key, because without being able to backlight it, if it was just all lit by ambient daylight, this would not look like anything.
Okay, yeah.
So I have one flash in behind on full zoom, on full power. That was the thing, is in daytime, you really have to fire up that power in order to kill the daylight. And it had a 3/4 CTB, a color temperature blue gel on it.
Okay.
Because I knew I wanted that background to kind of have the blue look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quickly set up another bare flash in the front right of the camera. Should have put it front left probably, but maybe do short lighting instead of broad lighting.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's not the end of the world. And so that had a full CTO color temperature orange on it, because I really wanted to have that, you know, the difference between the blue and the orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it had to be a bare flash. Oftentimes you're going to want to put a modifier on, like maybe a big umbrella. But I needed every bit of power coming out of it. So it's on full zoom and full power because, again, we're killing the daylight.
Right.
So I couldn't afford to soften the light, but it worked out okay in this case. And so that's it. So I had the key to getting this backlighting in any situation is to have that big hard source in behind whatever it is that you're lighting. Now, in this case, it's the water coming out of the hose, which I've used before. I've used sprinklers. I've used just rain in general, you know, if you have the opportunity. But this happens to be my favorite because you can do so much with it.
Right.
By changing the colors, in focus, out of focus. In this case, there's no rain falling on him.
Right.
So that's kind of a bonus. It kind of looks like it is raining,
yeah.
And yet he's not in the rain. Whereas if you have a little more space and time, you can actually create it as a separate backdrop. I think in this case, because we see the pavement and the pavement is wet, that it kind of tells us that it should be raining.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we'd just seen it like a crop with just his face, it wouldn't. It would just look like a cool background.
Right.
So. That's how I do that. Now, like I said, hose, rain, fog machine. We shot with a fog machine last year with Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some sort of backlighting on that just to make the fog and smoke pop out.
I remember it well.
Yes, some sort of a back or a side lighting on an angle. So,
yeah, it was like a beauty dish or something.
Yeah. You know, and so In this case, so, you know, with one light, one backlight, it's going to basically act as a kicker as well. It's going to light up the subject, the background rain, and provide a kicker. If you put two, if you have the opportunity, you know, if you have a big space and you can put 2 flashes, which I couldn't really in this case, if you put them at 45s, you get the backlight on the rain, and it will tend to kind of wrap around your subject. So it won't give this full, you know, fully well-lit face like we see here, but it will give you something moody by wrapping around and lighting your subject enough that you might not even need a key light, maybe only a bounce board or something like that. And that can look pretty cool.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, other than that, you just got to think about the balance, like the key to not even fill, it's the backlight ratio.
And so when you did this, I'm just trying to get it straight in my head. The light is on in behind the water, directed towards your subject, sort of shooting through the water. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It's on an angle to camera right.
In this case, it's on an angle just because of the way the driveway goes, like the nature of the layout. I didn't have much room, and again because I'm hosing down, you know, the front yard, and have my son, and basically my flash is kind of in harm's way with the water, so right. There is a Ziploc bag over top of the whole unit.
Okay.
I'm shooting through the Ziploc bag, right. Which basically just protects it from the hose. But oftentimes I'll put it right behind, and then there's a shot of my daughter last year with the hose, if you remember.
Yes. No, that was one of my, I think I chose it as one of my favorites of your.
Right. In that case, it wasn't a background. That was a foreground, but the flash was directly behind her. So I toyed with including the flash in the shot to kind of add the flare like you had in your photo. But ultimately it didn't look right for this one. So I disincluded it.
Okay.
So yeah, just put it in behind. This is probably on an angle of not much, but probably like a 10 degree, 15 degree angle off of straight, maybe more than that, 25. And that's where that goes. Now, what I do, I don't really want to blow out the highlights of the, in this case, the water. Okay. You know, I tend to still like you, it needs to be at the high end of the histogram. For me,
yeah.
In order to look right, but I'm always careful to make sure that it stays within the range, so it's not just kind of a blown out mess. Because that's you're going to kill your photo pretty quick with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the option to throw gels on and mess around with that is kind of makes it a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, and I really feel like I've gotten away from gels for a while. Like I can't remember the last time that I gelled my flash for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I see it done properly, I liked it. The blue orange contrast popped out to me right away, and but not in a negative way, in a pleasing way. And mm-hmm. So it made me think like, yeah, it's been some time since I've gotten the gels out.
Great. Yeah, me too. I felt the same way. I felt the same way. I thought, you know, I really got to get these out. So that's it. That's the topic. I know it's a very simple one, but it's not something we think about very often. Is, you know,
but we ranted like about wallets. There's a whole bunch of bonus content in there this yes. week. Yeah.
And I'm wrapping this up. So, photo challenge for next week. Give a choice.
Okay, give me the choice.
It's going to be will it be the longest day? Yeah, it'll be the longest day of the year when this airs.
Okay, no to that.
So no longest day. Okay, fine. Backlighting.
Oh, maybe go the longest day. No,
you don't.
Well, let's go back. That's kind of where I thought you were headed anyway. So
you have a lot of room out front of your house. You could do the hose thing.
The hose. Well, we just got new water guns. We got some of these like super soakers that are powered by batteries.
Well, if you can make it happen, then let's do backlighting. That's the photo challenge. Websites, Adam.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com. You can find all the links to all the stuff we talked about and probably more, Adam.
I'm going
to
guess more.
Always more. Always leave them having more.
Wanting more.
No, wanting. Okay, so then you can find nothing on the website. You'll go there, it'll be just empty. That's it.
Okay.
Adam, until next week, get out there and make better photos.